knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. That is the beautiful prayer that the angel of peace, the angel of Portugal, taught the three young seers in Portugal at Fatima in 1916, a year before Our Lady came. Okay, now over the last couple of weeks we've had a very momentous time, and I do apologise for not being here for two programs. Just so much happening. My mother's been in hospital, and of course the FLI Splendour of Truth conference, which was absolutely fantastic. I was very involved in that. And then last weekend we had a Marian Day, and there were four speakers, and I was very privileged to be asked along to talk about Our Lady's apparitions, which, of course, as you will know, I thoroughly enjoy anything to do with talking about Our Lady's apparitions. So we are going to actually have one of the talks today. We're going to start. I've got enough content from the talks at the Splendour of Truth conference, and, of course, Cardinal Burke was there, and I've got his talks as well. But there were a whole host of world-class speakers in the pro-life movement. And talking about pro-life, now make sure you check out the new Rosary Crusade. It's a pro-life Rosary Crusade, which is going to be held this year on the 8th of December and at 3 o'clock. And I'm one of the organisers, so please check out our absolutely beautiful website designed by Dan Lim. It is www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. So I'll do that again. www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. Absolutely fantastic. So we're looking for leaders to lead their groups and to gather a group around them. Now we've got one person is going to lead a group at Cape Reinga. So if you're thinking of going from one tip of the country, what about someone down there in Bluff? If you've got friends or family, it's happening. And we're starting to get, we've got about 10 leaders of groups so far, and we've got 7.5 weeks to go. So go to that website, share that website, and put it on Facebook, email it around. Our Lady is relying on you. Okay, so we're going to look at Dr. Brian Clove. He came to New Zealand with his lovely wife, and he gave two talks, and one of them is called The Family Under Siege.
And has probably been responsible for saving over 1,000 babies. So the CPCs in the United States are the primary reason that the pro-life movement exists, really. They save more babies than every other pro-life activity combined. So if you'd like to learn more, please talk to the lovely lady in blue. My wife. Thank you. I want to talk today about family under siege and why we should be concerned about this. Now, this is one of 22 of the sessions in the pro-life missionary training program on the DVD that FLI is selling back there for $20. It's a college course, a full 3-credit college course on pro-life activism, the dignity of the human person, the status of the human person, the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death, the spiritual battle, all of the topics, homosexuality, abortion, birth control, population control, and so on. And finally, the last several sessions have to do with organizing, planning, and learning how to debate. This is session 7, or an abbreviated version of session 7. There are 88 lessons, so you can do one 30-minute lesson every night, maybe 2 or 3 nights every week. And within 6 months, you'll have completed a complete college course in pro-life activism. You know everything pretty much that you need to know. So what I wanted to cover today are just 4 points. Who is attacking the family? How are they doing this? Why are they attacking the family? And how to defend the family? The most important part, how we can make ourselves invulnerable and unassailable by the culture of death. This is one of the greatest crimes that has happened in the history of the world, the assault on the family, so we should treat it like a crime. And investigators want to know when the crime happened, where did it happen, what was the crime itself, who perpetrated it, how was it done, and what are the motivations, why? We already know the answers to the first three. When is now and over the past 50 years, where is everywhere, and what is going on today. So today we'll talk a little bit about who's doing this, how they're doing it, and why they're doing it, most importantly of all. We have to go back to Revelation and the origin of the culture of death. And in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, 42nd, 43rd, 44th verses, we hear a lot about we're all children of God, but this is not entirely true. Our Lord himself said that if God were your father, you would love me, but you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He's a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him by his very nature. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we see the two primary weapons of the culture of death, murder and lies. All of the culture of death movements, from transgenderism to abortion, population control, and all the rest, are wrapped up in murder and lies. Not only murder of the physical body, but the spiritual person as well, murder of the truth, murder of good legislation, murder of good laws. They just completely destroy everything. What amuses us in the world today? There are many things. Drugs, alcohol, the New Age nonsense, unlimited sex, travel and life experience, money, possessions, power, influence, fame, and all the rest. But these things can only amuse us for a short time. What are the only two things that can bring us true contentment and peace? Where we have the kind of life where we can undergo trials with a cheerful demeanor. There are only two things, faith and family. All of those other things can amuse us, but only these two things can truly make us content. And that's why the people in the culture of death are so unhappy, so often. They don't have a family and they don't have any faith. So they are just trying to cram all of these oddball activities into the God-shaped hole that all of us have in our own hearts. Only God will satisfy us in his plan. Tens of millions of school children from the 30s to the 60s in the United States learned their faith from the Baltimore Catechism. The third question, why did God make us? God made us to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to be eternally happy with him in the next life. So if we study God, if we study theology, read the Gospels and holy books, we will come to know the Lord. If we know him, we will love him. If we love him, we will want to serve him. So it comes in a logical order. But what if the devil himself had a catechism? What's the opposite of the third question, the Baltimore Catechism? The other side of the equation, what does the devil want for us? To serve him through sin and unbelief, be unhappy in this life, and to be eternally unhappy with him in the next life. These 60 or 70 or 80 years we have here on this earth are a tiny, tiny eye blink of eternity. And I told the folks in Papua New Guinea, we were having talks near the beach, and I said, if you want to know how long eternity is, you just walk over to that beach, and you reach over and you pick up a single grain of sand, and you study and admire this grain of sand for the next 1 million years, and you watch all the changes happening around you. Then you put that one down and you pick up the next grain of sand and you study that one for 1 million years. You do this to every grain of sand on earth, every beach, under every ocean, pond, every river in the world, every desert. And if you do that, study every grain of sand for 1 million years eternity will have just begun. It is supremely important. Everything we do here on earth will be judged. And the devil wants us to make us unhappy in this world and also the next. So how do we live our lives according to the law of our Lord? Through the natural law. The Catechism says, the natural law gives us the first and essential precepts which govern the moral life and also the physical life. The desire for God and submission to Him, the source and judge of all that is good, is well upon the sense that the other is one's equal, our human dignity. Its principal precepts are expressed in the Decalogue. The natural law, the Lord God who made science, reveals it to us as well. He reveals us to us the natural law in all of nature. So if you pay attention to and heed the natural law, learn it and live by it, you'll be a better person. This is a simple scientific fact. What I love about the Catholic faith is all of its teachings on sexual morality are always supported by science. Now, there's a big study that's been going on in the United States for nearly 50 years now. It's called the National Survey of Family Growth. Every year, trained interviewers go out and interview thousands of different families, asking them over 200 questions. Now, these are not just our kind of family, the natural family, man and woman, committed to each other for life and open to the possibility of children, but also homosexual so-called families, polygamous families, people just living together, all kinds of families, all kinds of groupings out there. And they have found some interesting facts. The three most reliable scientific indicators for happiness are being religious, being married, and coming from an intact family with a father and a mother. This is what the church teaches. And if you find somebody with these three attributes, they have an 85 to 90% chance of being happy or very happy. If they don't have any of these, maybe a 10% chance at most. So this is a good example of science supporting the church's teaching. Being religious, being married, coming from an intact family with a father and a mother. If you have these three attributes, you're more likely to be physically better off. You'll smoke and get drunk much less, less likely to use drugs, have many fewer sexual partners, less probability of first sexual experience. You'll cohabit much less often. You'll be homosexual much less often, have fewer abortions, and encourage fewer abortions. Mentally, you'll be better off. Do better on college admission tests. You'll do better in school, high school and college. You'll volunteer more to help others. You'll get into fights much less often. You'll get in less trouble with the school and the police, run away from home less often, and you'll enjoy greater job satisfaction. And mentally and emotionally, you'll be happier as children. You'll get along with others better and be friendlier. You'll have more children and have better relationships with them. You will see the good in other people more often. You'll be happier being married, much less likely to get divorced and have affairs, have fewer unwanted pregnancies, and even have a better sex life. This is what the National Survey of Family Growth has found in the United States. You will be a better person if you're married, if you believe in God, and come from an intact family defined as a mother and a father married to each other. Now the how. How is a family being attacked today? This is an extremely important slide here, probably the most important out of the more than 2,000 in the entire pro-life missionary training program. How does the world work? And this is true of every country in the world. I don't care what country you're talking about, Tuvalu, you could be talking about the United States, Chile, any other country. There are 10 teachers of morality in this world today. The international focused sources of influence, a lot of power, a lot of money in these organizations. The United Nations and its 22 huge organizations, and the international non-governmental organizations. Then within each country, you have the focused sources of influence on the national level. The executive branch, the prime minister, the king or queen, the president, the national court system, provincial court systems, the legislatures, the professional associations, especially medical and legal, the media, and the school leadership. And finally, the other 99%, the diffuse sources of influence, the church and the family. Now, what the culture of death has done, quite simply, is it has taken over the foundations in the United States. It used to be the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Packard Foundation, all the rest of them would fund the arts or the schools or infrastructure. But gradually, over a period of about 40 years, liberals began to come in, leftists would come in and take over. And once they took over, they did not allow any more dissenting voices. So these enormous foundations, with their several trillion dollars of resources, started funneling money into the international NGOs and the media. We've noticed in our travel, Father Bouquet and I, the other HLI, is that many times you'll have a pro-life country with a very anti-life media. So a lot of money goes into the media, where those people come in, these very liberal, very leftist people, and then they don't allow anybody else in who has a dissenting opinion. We see this in all of the so-called developed countries of the world. And of course, a huge amount of money goes to the international NGOs, the pure population control and pro-abortion ones like Marie Stopes International, International Planned Parenthood Federation, and others, and the big NGOs who dabble with or do get themselves involved in population control. Everything from CARE and HOPE to Doctors Without Borders and more than 1,000 others. They don't have as their primary objective population control and the pushing of abortion and gay rights. It is kind of a sideline for them, but it still accounts for billions of dollars spent every single year. Now, the culture of death always works from the top down. Very efficient. They have already taken over the international focus sources of influence. They come into a country, and the UN and the NGOs start to pressure the national focused sources of influence. As I described before, the court system, the executive branch, and so on. And they pour billions of dollars into these organizations to take them over. And once they've taken over number 1 through 8, the focus sources of influence, then they start to exert downward pressure on the church and the family. It's not a coincidence that church and the family are the only two things that can bring us contentment, happiness, and fulfillment. The culture of death sees these as an obstacle, and so they start pushing down on the church and the family. This is why we hear so much nonsense about there must be strict separation of church and state, which of course only goes one way. The state can tell the church what to do, but the church can't tell the state what to do. With liberals and leftists, it's always one way. And the family, there are many different family. Okay, we can talk about several men living together. In fact, one feminist described a family as any group of people assembled for any purpose, forever, for any length of time. So we here are a family right now until somebody goes and gets some coffee. Just the same as a man and a woman in an exclusive and fruitful marriage. This is the kind of theory we're dealing with. But what we have to do is the opposite. We have to strengthen and support the family and the church until they become so powerful that they are invulnerable to the opposition of the culture of death. This is our job, to strengthen and support good priests, religious sisters, and bishops, and to strengthen our families and other families as well. The most important principle is that everything the culture of death offers us attacks one of the links of the family. Nothing they do is for any other purpose whatsoever. It's all designed to break down the family, or conservative parents passing on their values to their children. So let's see what the typical actual true traditional family looks like. It's a man and a woman who are unitive, they are together for life, and they are procreative. The nature of marriage is unitive and procreative. They are open to life.
Okay, sorry we've got to stop it there, but if you are enjoying that talk by Dr. Brian Cloves, please tune in over the next 2 weeks and I'll play the next two parts of that talk. Now, when he was talking about 1,000 babies being saved, it was from his wife, Kathy, her organisation, and she came with him, and what a beautiful lady. I met her and talked to her at length many times over the conference. We've just gone past 3 o'clock, so it's Divine Mercy time. So you don't have to be a Catholic to pray this prayer, but this is a prayer our Lord gave to St. Faustina about his mercy, and make sure you cry out for God's mercy, and he is offering it to you in abundance. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and since then shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and blood, world without end. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, unplanned pregnancy, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland who can help you. It's Family Life International. You can go online and have a look up their website, so Family Life International, or Gianna's Choice. That will also bring it up. So there's a group of very dedicated people who will look after you from prior to the birth, and right, even be there at the birth if necessary. In fact, one of our people is going to be at a birth in the next few days with one of our girls, and we have a lovely home where the girls can come and stay for an extended period of time. So we help with baby clothes, capsules, bassinet, cot, you name it. We will help the mothers and their babies. So we've got this Rosary Crusade coming up on the 8th of December. It is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, but it's also the March for Life down in Wellington. So for those of you who can, make sure you get to Wellington and join that march. It starts at 2 o'clock and it ends at Parliament Grounds. So we're going to do the Rosary Crusade there at 4 o'clock at the end of the march, but everywhere out in the country it is going to be at 3. Now please sign up and be a leader. What about you, Carl? What about you, Jos? You can sign up, I'm sure.